Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So today we continue our reflections on the Tools for Good Works. This is Conference 50. And today we're looking at tool number 54. The RB 80 translates that, do not love immoderate or boisterous laughter. The Cardong translation has, don't indulge in prolonged or explosive laughter. Well, let's take a look at the Latin. Risum mutum aut excusum non amare. Well, risum is laughter. Mutum, you might recognize something either much or very frequently. This word excusum, that's an odd one though. It literally means to shake out or shake off, or to knock or drive out or cast off. Exactly what is Saint Benedict meaning or intending when he uses this word excusus? Well, the idea is there's a sense of violence in excusus if you're going to drive out or cast off or shake out or shake off something. There's a violence to that action. And of course, amare is to love, or non amare is not to love. So I would translate it my own way. Do not love frequent or violent laughter. Let's just look at laughter in general. As far as I know, only human beings laugh. I'm not aware of the turkey vultures laughing up there in the trees, but maybe they are. Or the squirrels. You might think of chimpanzees or dolphins. We sometimes convey a sense of laughter, happiness, or a dog wagging its tail. You know, he's happy or she's happy to see the master, the mistress, whoever. Well, I'm not going to get into animal psychology in that level, but I would say this. Laughter is a conscious, intentional emotion. It can be a result of friendship or of love. You know, usually friends gather together and there's lots of laughter, recounting whatever they're recounting, you know, sometimes stories of the past. Laughter is a result of reason. And therefore it's an act of the will, as love is an act of the will. In other words, it's a choice. You know, so do animals have that choice? Or are they actually acting by a reasoned choice when the dog wags his tail and lets you know he's happy? Well, at any rate, be that as it may, I hold that laughter is an exercise of the will. And as it was put in some of my research, a prohibition to laugh is often a sign of an unhappy authority wanting to make everyone else miserable. So, I will not, I may say something about we may need to be more serious at this moment, but I will not prohibit laughter. You and I already know that joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul puts it so well in Galatians. And also, I think you will agree that a good sense of humor is not only necessary in life, perhaps it's essential in life. And I would go on to say it's essential in monastic life. The ability to laugh and enjoy, have fun, you know, to laugh at oneself in a good sense, but just to have, and to laugh at others in their humorous things, even if it's not meant humorously, you know. Sometimes, you know, we see the elders, you know, they'll say things or do things that can be quite hilarious. But we're not, you know, making fun of them. We're just laughing at them because it is a hilarious situation or whatever. Also, medical science knows, tells us that laughter, again, is the best medicine. Whatever happens when I laugh, it releases endorphins into my chemistry system in my body that counters sadness, depression, and also assists the process of healing for the body. You know, so you kind of just laugh all day long and you'll be healed, as it were. Well, let's look at Benedictine laughter in particular. Well, in the prologue, verse 19, St. Benedict tells us, the Lord's call to us is delightful. Hopefully we feel happy when the Lord calls us on a daily basis, but more particularly in our particular way of life, our vocation, whatever that is for each of us. And of all places, we might say, in chapter 49, the observance of Lent, Benedict makes two points about joy. Each monk offers to God from his own will something above the assigned measure with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So it's something joyful. You're not glum about it. And finally, he says in the same chapter on Lent, he says, the monk, therefore, is to look forward to Holy Easter with joy and spiritual longing. Because ultimately, you know, the reference is the greater goal of eternity. And that hopefully gives each and every one of us great joy. So St. Benedict does see joy in the life of a monk as something very, very significant in his prayer and in his observance. Well, looking at tool 54 then, the type of laughter that St. Benedict makes reference to in this tool contradicts the whole tenor of monastic life. The kind of laughter here, do not love frequent or violent laughter, is the laughter that does cover over, disguises, or even denies anger. And I suspect each of you, certainly I have, experienced a smile that silently withers and kills another. And you know it when you see it. You know, it's a very painful smile. Or a laughter that ridicules. Well, this is a violent laughter, right, in contrast to the mandate, again in the prologue, verse 17, where well, St. Benedict's quoting Psalm 9 or 34, let peace be your quest and aim. It's peace. And then he moves on to how the Lord's call to us is delightful. But this is violent. It's against peace. And too much of what we're hearing about in our world right now. This kind of excessive, immoderate, frequent laughter is a laughter of a loss of self-control. It's hysterical laughter. I remember we had, as vocation director, we had an experience of this hysterical laughter. I did. It was public. It was at Lauds in our old church back about 30 years ago. So I don't know how many of us were even here in the community at that time. But anyway, it was a candidate who turned out to be mentally ill. And he went into a hyper manic state. And I still remember, I remember he was in choir with us because he was one of our, what we used to call the aspirancy. He was here for 1 or 2 weeks. And we were having lauds, and something just seemed to be wrong with this guy in the choir stall. But anyway, lauds was over. And in those days, all the priests went to the sacristy and vested and processed out. So I was in the sacristy vesting with all the other priests. And I forget who came in and said, that candidate of yours is on the ground, on the floor, rolling in hysterical laughter. You know, I didn't have a clue what to do. And so I went out, I guess. Or anyway, he was back in he was standing in the choir stall, and things seemed to be normal, so I didn't know what was going on. But I knew that we had to get rid of this guy, had to go. And afterwards, I was, you know, quite shaken by the whole thing. I shouldn't maybe share this. This would be disedifying to our two candidates here, maybe the rest of you. One of the brothers of our founders from Gethsemane had gone over and put his hand on the guy's shoulder. And apparently that brought the guy back to reality and calmed him down. And so I was telling the then abbot at the time, Father Thomas, how shaken I was by this. And he looked at me, I don't know if you remember this, with a puzzled look, saying, well, that happened every week at Gethsemane when I was a novice. And then when I went to the brother, it was Brother Pierre, I said, how did you know what to do that? He said, very matter-of-factly, as those of you who remember Brother Pierre. He said, yeah, they taught us how to do that at Gethsemane. I was horrified in one sense. I thought, man, the stories I heard about Gethsemane, back in the early 50s, late 40s, I guess they're really true. I can tell you a few more hair-raising stories from other founders of things. But anyway, let's get back to hysterical laughter here. But, you know, step 10 of humility, as those familiar with the rule already know, St. Benedict says, a monk is not given to ready laughter, for only a fool raises his voice in laughter. Well, this is derision. This is deriding, cynical ridicule at the expense of another that's set to hurt or harm or destroy another, at least, you know, an attempt at that. And furthermore, the next step of humility, St. Benedict says, a monk speaks gently and without laughter. Well, these are characteristics of a humble person. There's a seriousness, a modesty, and reasonableness, you know, and brief words. So it's not loud, raucous, demeaning, intrusive, disrespectful, undiscerning, or it's self-centered is what it is, this kind of laughter in Tool 54. So do not love immoderate or boisterous laughter.